Rebecca for preparing that story for the children. It's really appreciated. And Katie for doing the prayer time. I've been teaching on Joshua within our group the last, well, actually, back in August was when I started, and haven't really picked up since then. I've actually prepared this message three times, so I'm glad to finally get to share it. I want to give a quick overview of what we've been discussing in Joshua in our group. In Joshua 1, we were talking about Joshua takes on the leadership after Moses, and he's told many times to be strong and courageous. Prepare for this taking of the land. In the second chapter, we read about Rahab and her faith in Jehovah and how the people's heart had melted because of all the things that Rahab's people had seen God do with the children of Israel. And then Joshua 3 and 4, we talked about crossing the Jordan and the stone pillars that were set up. We explained the route, how they went through the Jordan, and the reverence they had for the ark, because they were actually a half a mile away, or it says cubits, but it's a little bit more than half a mile away from the ark at all times, except for the priests that were holding it. And then we explained the distance that the Jordan had been dried up, and it was a little bit different than we had seen. So as I continued to study Joshua, we're at chapter 5, and I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 12. And I wanted you to pay attention here. There's three things I want you to catch. I want you to hear how many times he says, children of Israel, out of Egypt, and try to pay attention to what they're celebrating. That'll be quite obvious, what they celebrate as they get into the land. So it was, when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan, and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea, heard that Jehovah had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their heart melted, and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. At that time, Jehovah said to Joshua, make flint knives for yourselves and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time. So Joshua made flint knives for himself and circumcised the sons of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt who were males, all the men of war, had died in the wilderness on the way, after they had come up out of Egypt. For all the people who came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness on the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed, because they did not obey the voice of Jehovah, to whom Jehovah swore that he would not show them the land which Jehovah had sworn to their fathers, that he would give us a land flowing with milk and honey. Then Joshua circumcised their sons, whom he raised up in their place, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not been circumcised on the way. So it was, when they had finished circumcising all the people, that they stayed in their places in the camp till they were healed. Then Jehovah said to Joshua, this day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Therefore the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day. Now the children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight on the plains of Jericho. And they ate of the produce of the land on the day after the Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day. Then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land, and the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate food of the land of Canaan that year. If you kept count, you'd know that children of Israel was said six times. The term out of Egypt was said three times. And does anybody remember what they celebrated while they were when they got into the land? Passover. They celebrated Passover and unleavened bread as a group. As I was reading this and studying this, it really hit me, the fact that they kept saying children of Israel. And I really was like, there's something here that's important. I want to make sure I catch this. I want to share that our group, and I'm not trying to single us out, but I just want to let you know that we studied the Torah throughout the year. And I wanted to share this importance of this because there was mentioned 2 years ago, just someone talking off the cuff about something they'd read during the week in the Torah portion. And the thing that they had read was Exodus 12, 37 through 38. And this was a Torah portion that would have been a couple weeks ago, but this wasn't, this was mentioned to me 2 years, maybe even 3 years ago. And it always stuck. And I wondered, what is the relevance? And I'm hoping to show that today. So Exodus 12, 37 and 38. Then the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot besides children. A mixed multitude went up with them also, and flocks and herds, a great deal of livestock. So 2 or 3 years ago, someone said, did you ever notice that there was a mixed multitude that left with them? And at that time, I hadn't noticed. It's a small section that just didn't really notice. Caitlin? Can you? So I wanted to share a little bit of these two words, mixed multitude. So you see, it is two words. This is the first time these two words are mentioned in together in Scripture. So the first word, is that the first? Okay, is arev. And then you can see it up there in Hebrew, the spelling, and it means mixed. So then the second word is many and great. So, but you take these two words, mixed and many, and you can see throughout the Scripture how that's been translated. If you go to the next, so in Nehemiah 13:3, this phrase is used again. So it was, when they had heard the law, that they separated all the mixed multitude from Israel. I'm not going in depth of what they're saying. I'm just showing you that mixed multitude means foreigners, others, groups. Go ahead to the next one. All the mixed multitude, all the kings of the land of Uz, all the kings of the land of the Philistines, namely Ashkelon, Gaza, Ekron, and the remnant of Ashdod. So you can see the many different nations explained here. Go ahead to the next one. All the kings of Arabia and all the kings of the mixed multitude who dwell in the desert. Go ahead to the next one. A sword is against their horses, against their chariots, and against all the mixed peoples who are in the midst, and they will become like women. A sword is against her treasures, and they will be robbed. And the last one, Ezekiel 30:5. Ethiopia, Libya, Lydia, all the mingled people, Chub, and the men of the lands who are allied shall fall with them by the sword. So we can see that this means mixed peoples. This is not trying to trick us. It's other nations, other groups of people. So from there, I was thinking, who might these groups have been? Who went through Egypt? So I began to study, and these weren't Christian studies or biblical studies that I was looking through. I was just looking through at this time, who would have been traveling through Egypt? Well, as you know, if you know where Egypt is, it was traveled through a lot because people from Eastern Europe and Asia, as they'd go into Africa, would travel through Egypt. And vice versa, when people would travel through Africa. So you'd get these small bands of people as they traveled through. Egypt was a very fertile land, and people would stop there, and they would live there their whole lives and camped in that area. There were many groups of people. I had printed out a sheet and left it at work. Early before the Babylonians, but the Babylonian people, there were Canaanites, there were Assyrians, just many groups of people that had stopped there and lived within the nation of Egypt at that time. And so there definitely could have been a mixed multitude. And many people believe that Caleb was one of those mixed multitudes, that Caleb's family, his father, was not Israelite. So I looked at this and thought, okay, we have this mixed multitude of people, yet that's not what we're seeing in Joshua. So I said, was there an event? Was there something that may have happened after the people had left Egypt, whereas all the people became God's chosen people, which is what Israel is? And I'd like you to turn to Exodus 19, 1 through 9. In the third month, after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. For they had departed from Rephidim, had come to the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain, and Moses went up to God, and Jehovah called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now therefore, you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant. Then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which Jehovah commanded him. Then all the people answered together and said, "All that Jehovah has spoken, we will do." So Moses brought back the words of the people to Jehovah. And Jehovah said to Moses, "Behold, I come to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever." So Moses told the words of the people to Jehovah. I think this was a significant time. The third day of the third month. And I just wanted to share what a Hebrew scholar, Nehemiah Gordon, has said. Some connect the revelation at Mount Sinai to Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost. Although that is not stated anywhere in the Bible, however, it did take place early on the third Hebrew month, coinciding roughly with the time of Shavuot. That means these very words, "I am Yehovah your Elohim," were spoken to 3 million people. So, taking that, I again looked further and wondered, I think you'll figure this one out, if there was another time the Shavuot was mentioned and that there was a gathering of many peoples. And this is Acts 2, 1 through 12. When the day of Pentecost, or Shavuot, or Feast of Weeks, had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. When they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these men who are speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others mocking said, "They are full of new wine." We see here again the many groups brought together in the name of one God. And once they became God's chosen people, they were part of the same group. They weren't a separate thing. And to prove this a little bit more, I wanted to turn to Romans. Romans 11. I'm going to be reading verses 16 through 27. And this is Paul explaining this beautiful mystery of how we become Israel. "For if the first fruits is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, 'Branches were broken off that I might be grafted in.' Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell. Severity, but toward you, goodness. If you continue in his goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in. for God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them, when I take away their sins. There are many people that say the church wasn't started until after Christ. I'm going to say a bold thing. I don't believe that's true. I believe that all of Israel, for all time, has been God's chosen people. And I think it continues that way. I think Paul said it, so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. That's all I had for today. I thank you all for coming. Shabbat shalom. Please feel welcome to share a meal with us. I know I'm not as long-winded as most people. I'm sorry about that. But we can fellowship together and have a good time together. So thank you for coming.